Welcome to Magazine. An ad vividly resembling a close-up of oral sex has appeared on billboards across Prague. For 10 years now, the golden rule of the advertising business has been to shock, and many ads have gone way over the top, breaking every code of ethics in the book. Few ads ever get to court, and by the time the Council for Advertising makes a recommendation, the ad has served its purpose, and the issue has given the respective firm additional free publicity. Even in a society as permissive as this one, the oral sex ad has many people shaking their heads in disbelief. I talked to a few people to find out what they don't like about the present style of advertising.
I don't like ads with sexual innuendos or outright nudity, and I don't like aggressive advertising.
No taste at all. Naked bottoms everywhere you look, and the language is atrocious.
What does every man look at first?
Nelíbí se mě, kdyby se mě třeba reklama na Fidorku, kde ta malá holčička...
I don't like the ad in which a little girl steals a chocolate cookie. I teach my children not to steal.
Snad jediná, která mě kdy pobouřila, byla teďko na ten antirasismus.
The only ad that really shocked me was the one in which a woman asked her son-in-law to paint the fence blue, and he tells her that the next time he'll paint the fence, she'll be dead and gone. The degree of cynicism in some ads is pretty alarming.
Myslím si, že reklama má být šokující a vždycky tak nějak, že to tak beru, jo.
I guess ads are supposed to shock. I admit there are ads that I don't like, but they do what they are supposed to do. They make me sit up and take notice. I guess they have to be that way.
When you get them to talk, most Czechs find plenty to complain about in the ad scene around them. But few find it worthwhile to contact the Council for Advertising and complain. I talked to commentator Václav Pinkava about ethics in advertising and the attitude of Czech society to risque ads.
I think this society is much more like Scandinavian society when it comes to sexual matters. Certainly it's very different from Britain. There's far less sort of prudery about sexual themes, nudity in public. I mean, in Britain you can get arrested as a man if you, you know, go and pee against a tree. You know, over here you can see that practically every day and nobody even takes a second look.
Yes, you're right. What kind of ads do you find offensive then? We've seen lots of ads. I think the only ads that have actually made it to court as being offensive, that's the ad, one or two, I don't know now how many, that involved the president. But of course there have been ads that sort of poke fun of the Pope. There have been various ads. It's not just sex as such. So where do you draw the line?
I find ads offensive which play to prejudice or which encourage people to think in stereotyped ways. You know, it's one thing to be provocative and make people sit up and think, and I think Benetton are a good example of that kind of ad campaign, which is shocking, which is provocative, but which actually makes you think. You know, if you see a billboard with a freshly born newborn child on it, is that acceptable in a public space? Well, to me it isn't, but for the reasons, not because I find it offensive, but because I can imagine that somebody who's maybe just lost a child or had a stillborn child or something is being made to see, you know, this healthy newborn child on a billboard while feeling some personal grief. I think it's insensitive to have these kind of ads in public. I think it's more appropriate to put them in a gallery and to have an ad which draws attention to the fact that there is a gallery exhibition of that kind of art.
Wouldn't that restrict you a great deal? I mean, such a person would see babies everywhere every day.
You don't see. I mean, you do not
see a newborn,
baby,
right,
you know, freshly born, covered in blood.
Yes.
That just is not an image that you should be exposed to. And I find it also quite inappropriate to have to explain to my children what the two horses are up to in that Benetton advert. I don't know if you remember that particular one. Those things don't belong in a public space, not because I find them offensive, but because that is an inappropriate space for them to be in. If there are ads which incite to violence or which play to stereotypes like racism.
Have you seen ads like this in the Czech Republic?
Yes, I mean quite recently, in fact. This is a good example of an ad which, despite the product being excellent and a product, you know, product I've used myself, I will now not be buying a certain product because I strongly disagree with the advertising campaign, and it is my own personal protest to no longer buy this product. And I certainly remember the brand thanks to the advertising. I admire the product, which, you know, or the product range, which is high quality, but I find the advertising sufficiently debasing that I will not be supporting the profit margin of a certain company with my money so they can spend their profit on that kind of advertising campaign. I don't think it's appropriate to name names, you know, and to be specific about the firms involved, but there's certainly...
But it was racist, basically, that's what you're saying.
A racist campaign, which I personally find sufficiently offensive to me, that I will be putting my money where my mouth is and not buying those products.
There is a commission that should make sure there are no racist billboards in the country, I think. And, of course, this commission, it's lots of wheels that are put into motion when you have enough complaints from the public, isn't it? I think that's what happens in most Western countries as well. But you actually don't get people complaining. Do you think, you know, Czechs just don't seem to care enough to write and say, look, this is offensive, this is racist, this shouldn't be happening, I don't want it happening in my country.
Yes, that's right. I remember a radio debate back in the early 90s when there was a risque ad for a sofa where, you know, a woman was shown leaning over the sofa and sticking her bottom out and some man in the background, and the slogan was, please do not touch with a knot crossed out. So it says, please do touch. And she was sort of running her hands over the sofa, so it was supposed to mean, you know, touch the sofas, but of course the innuendo was there that you should be touching her somewhere else. And they discussed this and whether it should be banned and so on, and the man from the Advertising Standards Authority was asked the question on air, you know, have you had any complaints from women? And he said, yes, we've had one. A lady, you know, wrote in to say that she couldn't stand adverts for products she couldn't afford.
Right. So what's the commission for? It's just there in case people want to complain, but basically it's not making sure you don't have racist ads in the country, or ads that will seriously affect, as you said, young children.
I don't think that the Advertising Standards Authority is there to have different standards than the society it's in. That's the dilemma, because, you know, it's very easy to get into this kind of moralizing mode where they're going to be the guardians of better standards, sort of futuristic standards of what the society should turn into.
What is ethical and what is not.
And
yes, but if you're talking about racism, there are laws against inciting racial hatred.
Yes, I mean, it's a fundamental point about racism, for example, that if the society is racist in this moment in time, then you can't pander to the racism in that society and
exactly.
say, well, everybody, you know, the majority thinks this is okay, therefore it is. So there have to be some standards which I feel like international or, you know, pan-galactic or whatever, where they are taking their guidelines from what is considered appropriate, you know, in the European Union, in the world at large, and making allowances for things, say, like poking fun at the Pope. I mean, in this country, that's not an issue for most people because this country is one of the most secular and irreligious on record. If you tried that in Italy, you know, I could see the billboards getting burnt down in about 24 hours. That is just a reaction to the society you're in, and I think if you put the Advertising Standards Authority in the role of being a guardian of moral standards or something, then obviously it's going to be on this very fine line between being in the vanguard of better moral standards and being, you know, accused of censorship. And I think that's always going to be a dilemma. I think you have to be very careful that you don't push that society too fast, too hard, and alienate the public from what you're trying to do by trying to impose standards upon them. So you have to be very, very diplomatic with that. But I think you should at least open the thing to debate, say, you know, what do you think and why do you think what you think, and why is it appropriate for you, or why doesn't it shock you when it shocks other people?
You're listening to Radio Prague, and now it's time for Bill Bathurst's Literature Slot. Today, Bill will read a piece by a fine Czech poet who was born in 1938 and is still with us, Josef Hanslík.
As regular listeners know, Bill has featured Mr. Hanslick often on Radio Prague, but he assures me that you haven't heard the poem he'll read this time. Something to do with flying, I believe.
Yes, that's right, because I'll be in the air next month. I thought it would be appropriate, and besides, it's a pretty good poem, which you can find in the final section of Josef Hanslick's Selected Poems, published by Blood Axe Books in 1993. This translation is by Ewald Ozers, and it's called In the Heavenly Darkness Over the Town X. It is 20 hours Central European time. Above the town, an empty leaden sky in the first third of October. Night is descending on the streets, the night of lovers, stray cats, and hotel bars, or murderers and police patrols. In the streets of the town, eyes blinded by neon and the glitter of shop windows cannot see as far as the starless October sky. They don't perceive a little red coral winking solitarily like blood, intravenously trickling drop by drop and hastening to prolong someone's unique event. The little coral is urgently winking, its flashes tread on the darkness like children's bare feet tiptoeing. The aircraft is on a scheduled flight, and the air hostess announces in broken English, "We're overflying the town X." Ah, yes, in the town streets, in corners, in the parks, in back seats of cars, in borrowed bachelor flats, and under the arches of the bridges, lovers are writing the stories of countless nights. Murderers are testing their razors on a hair, and junkies with ampules and powders crawl out of their holes. Ah, yes, in the aircraft, which hums softly like a summer meadow, people with a glass of Ballantine coffee and a cigarette are watching the town below them, those clumps and cascades of light exploding, shining, spreading like a burning supernova in a great Magellan nebula. Ah, yes, in the soft town streets and in the airliner seats, a lover of unquiet turns on a tape recorder, and a Belgian girl with a derriere wig sings like an angel with a childish voice, "Mama, can I have that big elephant over there?" But of course, darling, you can have that big elephant, you can have anything, so long as I am, so long as you are. So long as the lights of Town X are there, and while the hostess's public address system effortlessly crosses a state frontier, the passengers still see the lights of Town X. They have not gone out. They have not vanished into the irretrievable. The outskirts of Town X have passed on a baton to the outskirts of another Town X. The halos of their lights are gently touching, light holding light, as people hold hands. In this Europe overcrowded with neighbors like a summer beach, upon this beautiful inhabited earth, whose nights do not belong to murderers, but to lovers and dreams. In case you tune in late or have a memory like mine, that was In the Heavenly Darkness Over the Town X by the contemporary Czech poet Josef Hanslick, who of course you'll hear more from in the months to come, but that's it for today. And so it's over and out, and try to join us again next week at this time. Goodbye.
That was Bill Bathurst, and this is Daniela Zerovar saying thanks for being with us, have a good weekend, and take care.